So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up, oh stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up, hands up, hands up, all believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
Do you wonder if God can or will use you? Are you searching for peace or meaning in your life? Maybe you believe you're in a hopeless situation or circumstance. Join us as Connie Jones shares her search for peace and satisfaction to fill a void in her heart. Her journey took her to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, where she found the peace and answers she was seeking. Her message today was given at the Heart to Heart Women's Spring Tea, titled Delight, taken from Psalm 119:24. Now let's join Connie.
So I'm so excited to tell you my testimony. But what I'm more excited to talk to you about is what God's done in my life and how God's used me. My story is one of searching to fill a void. And of course, I searched in all the wrong places, and I suffered because I was searching, and I wasn't searching in the right places. I'm going to tell you of the glory of God, of His goodness, and how God never stopped pursuing me. Psalm 23:6 says, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." How He eventually strengthened me and satisfied me. I grew up in a dysfunctional family. My father was a functioning alcoholic, and my mother was emotionally abusive. I spent a lot of time trying to discern the situation. How drunk was he? How mad was she? How upset was she? How was I going to act? How was I going to behave? I was more worried, though, about who was going to find out the truth about my situation, my family life. Suffice it to say, God was not the center of my life or my family's life. My mom did baptize us. We were baptized as Methodists. And when I asked my mom why she picked that church and not another church, she said because it had the least amount of rules. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but that was her reasoning. She did used to read us Bible stories in the summertime when we were on vacation. She did read her Bible. I saw her eventually, read her Bible once in a while. I have to take a drink of water. I'd only have 1.5 lungs, which my husband loves when we're doing discussions. Because I run out of breath and I can't keep discussing things with him. But anyway, there was no firm foundation. There was no relationship with God. My void in trying to fill it had begun. So I started searching outside of my home. And I knew some friends that were Baptists, and I thought they were weird because they went to church twice on Sundays. I thought you only had to go once to get the full, be the full godly kind of thing. But their home was peaceful, it was loving, and that's what I was looking for. So I started going to church, but I was devastated to learn when my friend told me, "You are not going to go to heaven." And I thought, well, why? I'm a good person. I follow the Ten Commandments. Of course, I was like 12, so I don't know. Couldn't break too many of them at that point in time. And so I asked her, what did I have to do? How will I go? How can I get to heaven? And she said, you have to say a prayer. And she led me into prayer. And I thought, good, I'm going to heaven. I don't remember what we said. I don't remember what the prayer was. I just was relieved that now I was going to heaven. God's pursuing. He's always pursuing me, and I'm always searching, still searching. In my high school years, I explored a lot of different religions, and I even went so far as to say I was an atheist. And I felt like I was an atheist when people would ask me, well, why are you an atheist? My reasoning was because God causes suffering, and how can a loving God cause suffering? And I didn't know then that He doesn't cause it, He allows it to refine us and bring Him glory. 1 Peter 1:7 says, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than gold, and God is with us during our trials. Job 36:15, but those who suffer, he delivers in their suffering. He speaks to them in their afflictions. In the following years, I would get pregnant 18, married, divorced, married. I know you guys thought I was going to be like Elizabeth Taylor, huh? It was just going to keep on going and going. But it ends right there. It's just three times. It just sounds a lot like when you write it down. It seems like that's a lot of married and divorcing. I became a functioning alcoholic and drug addict. You would think I would have got that I was an alcoholic when the man at the liquor store said, ma'am, if you buy a bigger bottle of vodka, you won't have to come every day and buy the pint. I just didn't get it. I was embarrassed, but I wasn't going to admit that I was an alcoholic. The enemy had a tight grip on my life, and I didn't know it. Still searching. In 1991, I moved in with my husband, who wasn't my husband at the time. I moved in. His name is Jim. I moved in with him. I hadn't even waited until my second divorce had become final to see what direction my life should take or to clear my head. I just jumped right into another relationship, still searching. While living with him, I learned that his family had horses. And I was like ecstatic because since I was little, I wanted to have a horse. And, you know, my parents obviously didn't have land to have a horse. And I just said, I will go and buy one from them because they were selling some of them. And he said, no. I said, what do you mean? We're like newly living together. You're supposed to be making me happy. And he said that they took a lot of time, a lot of money, and he knew what that was all about having grown up with them. But I begged and begged, and he finally relented. And I thought, good, now I'm going to be happy. I have a horse. That's a dream. I'm going to be happy. No. I had a horse, and I decided that I wanted to start with showing. It's like competitive showing. It's like a hobby. And you go, and you ride around a ring, and you get a blue ribbon. But I was still doing drugs and drinking at the time, and I knew that I couldn't continue to do drugs and afford a horse, so I quit, just like that. I quit my drugs for a horse. And I think, when I look back on it, I said, what a sad commentary it was on my life at that time that I wouldn't quit for my son or for my boyfriend or for his kids, but I quit for a horse. I didn't know it then, but horses were quickly becoming my idol. In 1996, I was still searching to fill that void. I was still drinking, still showing horses, and I had a friend who was a hairdresser, who's here, her name's Darlene, she's sitting at my table, and she was a new Christian, and she was on fire for the Lord. And ladies, I don't know if she planned this or not, when you're at the hairdresser's, you're kind of a captive audience. And my hair was a lot longer, so I was a captive audience for a lot longer, and even more of a captive audience when she would color my hair, because then you have to sit under that dryer, I think. I haven't done it for a while, but you have to sit there for like 30 minutes, and like, so she would just be talking and talking about Jesus and what he was doing in her life, and just, you know, and I was like, mm-hmm. I could see that she had peace and joy and happiness, and that was something I wanted, but it was that Jesus thing. It kind of freaked me out, you know? I just, could we get it without having the whole Jesus thing? So she was, thank goodness she was unrelenting, and she invited me to Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa Monday nights. Greg Lurie, for those of you who know, used to teach Monday nights there. And I was a little hesitant, but I decided, okay, I'm going to try this. And what I found was more people with peace and joy and happiness. But I was still worried because I was still drinking and I was living with Jim. So I thought the thing to do would be to quit drinking, which I did, and get married to Jim. And then I could come to God clean. But what I didn't know then that I do now is that he's just going to take us where we're at, and he's going to cleanse us. He doesn't care who we are or what we are at that time. He's just going to cleanse us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. It wasn't too long after that that I went forward. the pastor made the altar call, and I stood up, and my husband was going with me to church at the time. We were going, and he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going. He said, sit down. It's not over yet. Because they have you stand up before you do the altar. So sit down. Where are you making you're making a fool of yourself. And I said, come with me. I'm going forward. Come with me. I'm going to accept Jesus. Come with me. He's like, I'm not going to. So, you know, I walked about 1 year before falling away. And I didn't fall away completely. I do what you call the hokey pokey, guys. They're a little older. You know, you got your left foot in, and you shake it all about. That was me with the Lord. You know, sometimes I'd be in and sometimes I'd be out. Not a really great place to be. But God continued to pursue me, to speak to my heart, convicting me. And I did concede a little. I started praying again and reading my Bible. I wasn't going back to church. But I was still deep in that horse world. That thing had gotten me. And it was costing me in my relationship, first with God and with my husband, but also in time and money. Well, my son joined the Army in, I think it was 2001. And I was terrified that I knew he was going to go to Iraq, and I was terrified that he was going to die there in Iraq. And I remember just being so fearful, but I didn't turn to God. I turned to a horse again. I started a different discipline of riding, which cost more time, more money. You know, and Jim was begging me, please don't do this, please don't do this. And I just said, I didn't listen. I just said, how could he know how I feel? It's not his son going to Iraq. He didn't know about the fear, but the Holy Spirit started convicting me to pray about the situation. And I said, okay, I'm going to pray because God knows. God understands me. My husband doesn't know. He doesn't understand me, but God does. And so I prayed, and I told God, you know, God, I have to ride this horse because, I'm telling God. Can you imagine? I'm telling God. I have to ride this horse. You know how it is. You know how I feel. What do you say, God? And God said, no. And then he said, listen to your husband. And I told God, no, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to continue to ride the horse. And maybe next time when I pray, it'll be a different answer. So I prayed again. God, that last time, maybe we weren't communicating because you said no and listened to your husband, and that's really not what I wanted to hear. So I'm going to ask you again. I really need to ride this horse. What do you say? And God said, really loudly, no. I said, listen to me, listen to your husband. I just didn't. I just kept riding the horse. And just more and more trouble in my marriage and in just... It was not good. So in April 2004, with the blink of an eye, my life and my family's life changed because of my stubbornness and my hard heart, because I was looking and I wasn't listening. I had a horseback riding accident that left me a quadriplegic. I'm a C4, C5, that's pretty high. I can't feel anything below my collarbone. I can feel like pressure, but I couldn't tell you what it was. If you touch me with something, I don't know what it is. It left me with chronic burning, sometimes horrible pain. It took away all my choices. Everything that, you know, you have such freedom, and then it's just taken from you. They didn't know if I would ever move again or how much I would move again. But I had people praying for me, and even though Jim wasn't a Christian, he started two prayer chains, so I had a lot of people. Darlene's church was praying for me, and, you know, God was so merciful. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. And in the NIV Bible, it says his compassions never fail. And, you know, when I read that, again, when I put this in to get to my testimony, I noticed that the mercies and the compassions are plural. And I just thank God for that, that it's not that he just gives us mercy once or is just compassionate once, but it's over and over, because I don't know about you guys, but I need that mercy over and over and that compassionate God over and over and again. I'm not perfect in any way, shape, or form. Let me tell you how God has been merciful to me. Me who had said, no, I'm not going to listen. Me who had said, that's not the right answer. me who had been willful, me who had been dismissive. I was referred to an inpatient, once you're a quadriplegic or paraplegic, you go to an inpatient hospital. You're only there, it used to be a year, but now you're only there 6 weeks. And that's just not like long enough. And I was there 10, so I got a lot more care. The head of the department was my doctor, so I had the best care possible. The insurance worker who had my case had just dealt with the quadriplegic. I mean, what are the chances that a caseworker, an insurance worker, had just dealt with the quadriplegic? So she knew everything that I needed, and she just put everything through. There was no denials. There was no saying they don't need this or why does she need this. It just all went through, just like a blink of an eye and a snap of a finger. They said I wouldn't walk, but I can a few steps. I'm not like you guys. I can't be running up and down these stairs, but I don't know. God might be able to get me up and down these stairs a little bit, but they said that I would have no bladder control. And my husband said, they were catheterizing me. And my husband said, I can't. She can't come home like that. I have to work. And I was being cathed every 2 hours, every 3 hours. We had a family meeting, and that's when he said that to the doctors. She can't come home like that. The nurses were having a hard time catheterizing me, so he was thinking he probably couldn't do it either. That night, he went to get some dinner, and when he left, I didn't even pray about this. I didn't even pray about it. I got the sensation that I had to go to the bathroom, and I told the nurse, can you put me on the potty? She said, for what? I said, because I have to go to the bathroom, you know? She said, no, you don't. We have to catheterize you. I said, no, I've got to go to the bathroom. And ever since then, I've had bladder control. I mean, God is just awesome. Yeah, God is awesome. He answers it. I couldn't use my hands at all. I had no hand function. And it was even, and because it was, I was in the hospital for 10 weeks, and then you go for outpatient therapy, my hands were really bad. And I remember the hand therapist saying, you're never going to use your hands again. And, you know, God gave me my hands. I don't have use of my left hand, but I have use of 3 fingers. And ladies, that's all you need is 3 fingers. I can put my makeup on. I can spike my hair. You know, I can feed myself. So, you know, the important things in life, you know, that's good. So he gave me what I needed. And while going through all of this, God spoke to me, to my heart, to my soul. There was a doctor who told me, you are much too cheerful for being in the position that you are in. And I just want to let you know, you're never going to be normal. And, you know, I was crushed, not because I had any pie-in-the-sky ideas about recovering fully and walking and having a hand function, but I was crushed. She didn't crush my dream. She just crushed my spirit, I think. And so I was in the car crying my eyes out. And, you know, I have a tendency to just bawl my eyes out before going to the Lord. And I was just crying. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, she does not know what I know. And she cannot do what I can do. Just be quiet. And, you know, it just spoke to me. And I was just peaceful after that. And it's true. I have my, you know, I have some of my hand function bunk back. I've done some other things that she thought I couldn't do. Another time I had a caregiver and her hours got cut and I was really worried about falling because I do walk a little bit, like when I go to the bathroom and stuff, I don't transfer. I kind of walk. And I was just remembering thinking, I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid. Again, I haven't gone to God. I'm just like in myself. I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid. I'm terrified. I'm crying. And God just spoke to me. He just said, have I ever let you down? He actually said, I've never let you down or fall. And I knew he meant not literally fall, but never let you down, that he's never let me down in any way, shape, or form, and he was not going to. But what I really want to share with you is what God has done for me and how he's used me. I felt like a burden to my family. My husband was so angry and so bitter about my accident because he had asked me not to do this, and I had done this. And he made no bones about telling me about how angry and how bitter he was. And it was almost more than I could bear, that I had done something, that my sin had caused his life to be affected. And I just prayed, God, would you just, can I just die, please? I just can't stand. Sorry, you guys. I can't stand to see how much I've hurt him and how angry and bitter he's become. And I actually took sleeping pills and hid them. And I thought, when he's gone on a camping trip, I'm going to take these sleeping pills and he'll be relieved of his burden, even though he hadn't said I was a burden, but he still said he was angry about what I had done. And then it'll be okay. But I was praying during this time. I was praying for the wrong thing. I was praying to die. So that, you know, I don't think that's what I was supposed to be praying for. But God spoke to me and he said, in time, all things will be revealed. And I thought to myself, what things are going to be revealed? And that kind of, you know, God kind of knows I'm a curious kind of person. So I kind of wanted to hang around to see what he was going to do. Because I was like, how can you work with me? I'm a quadriplegic, and I don't have hands, and I can't walk, and I don't really get the whole picture here. But he has. He's used me. He showed me to look at small blessings, not just the big ones. You know, just like the sunset. I mean, I used to see the sunset, and you think, oh, that's so pretty, but God created that sunset, or the sunrise. God created that. He's so big. He created this universe. He created our bodies that are so meticulous and intricate and working, and it's to look at that is just so wonderful. He blessed us financially. If my husband would have quit his job at the time that he wanted to when I got hurt, he was getting ready to retire, he would not have had the financial package that he has now. And, you know, we took a big hit when I lost my job, but God blessed us with that. God saw and knew and blessed us. Jim was saved 4 years after I got hurt. I was praying for him. Okay, I was doing it all wrong, though. I was talking to, in Proverbs it says the dripping, you know, the wife, it's like the rain on the roof, annoying is what I was. And so I would tell him, you know, you have to go to church, it's so great, and you should do this, and you should do this. And I was praying, God, please bring him to, and God finally told me, would you just be quiet, let me do my job. So, zip my lip, and, you know, I was hoping God wasn't going to use, like, his children to soften his heart. But God knows. And you know what God used? A dog. Okay, God used a dog. Who would have thought? This Jim loved this dog, and we had to put it to sleep, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back. 2 months later, he said, I just can't take it anymore. I don't know where to turn. I feel lost. And he came to the Lord. Who would have known? So ladies, I want to tell you that if you're here and God's speaking to you, listen to his voice. Proverbs 16:20, see, those who listen to instruction will prosper. Those who trust in the Lord will be joyful. I don't think he means prosper financially, although he might, but I think he means prosper well-being wise. And you're going to be joyful. He promises that in his word. He says you will be. He doesn't say maybe, it's you will be joyful. I also want you to know that God can and will use you for his good and glory no matter where you are or what you are going through. Isaiah 41:10 says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my victorious right hand. And when God gave me that, I mean, it's wonderful that he asks us not to be afraid and not be discouraged. And that could be, for me, that could be enough. I like when God tells me, don't do this or do this. I really do listen now. But he said, victorious right hand. That means, ladies, wherever we're at, whatever we're going through, he is going to be victorious. We don't have to, he's not just going to hold us. We're going to be victorious. We win. We win, not our situations. We win. Psalm 119:24, our psalm for the tea here. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. It just means look to God's word for guidance and direction, just what I've been talking about. You don't need to look any further than God and the Bible. So my testimony ends in 2 Corinthians 12:8. Paul begged the Lord 3 times to take it away. The Lord said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And I know a lot of you know that verse and probably have leaned on that verse. And I did too when I first was hurt. I loved it said that my grace is all you need. And that was fine for me at that time. But when he gave it to me again for this talk, I just thought I was like so excited that I was in good company with Paul, because Paul was such a warrior for God, wasn't he? He was just there doing his thing for the Lord, yet he had a thorn in his flesh. And so I thought I'm in good company. And my power works best in weakness. I know that I'm in this wheelchair and that God just didn't break my arm or break my leg, because he knew how prideful I was, how stubborn I was. And he knows when I'm weak like this, I'm going to continue to turn to him and look to him and ask him for wisdom and guidance. So I just love that about 2 Corinthians. So in closing, I know it was my sin that brought me here and that put me in this wheelchair, but it's God's grace that holds me here. So ladies, thank you so much for listening to my speech, my testimony. I do want to say one thing. Ladies, if you're here and the Lord's speaking to your heart about having an initial relationship with him or coming back to a relationship with him, I'll be over here for prayer after everything is said and done. If there's anybody here from their prayer team, could you please be over here too so we could pray for the women? Please, ladies, I implore you, do not leave here today. If the Lord is talking to you, do not leave and let it go one more minute, one more day, one more hour. Just come and for prayer, we'd be more than happy to pray with you. Okay? Thanks so much.
So wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up. All you dreamers, hands up. All believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.